Welcome back to the Florida Rondo from Florida Public Radio. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami. My co-host Melissa Ross is off this week. Thanks for listening. The most restrictive abortion law is on the books in Alabama now. Georgia and Mississippi lawmakers passed laws this spring banning abortions once a fetal heartbeat is detected. The battle over abortion is being waged most fiercely in this corner of the country. Two abortion bills failed during this past legislative session in Florida. The most restrictive, a fetal heartbeat bill, never got a committee hearing. The second effort would have required a pregnant teenager to get parental consent before getting an abortion. The bill did pass out of the Florida House, but it died without a vote in the full Senate. A parental consent law was ruled unconstitutional by the state Supreme Court in 1989, but any effort to limit abortions will encounter much different Supreme Courts, both here in Florida and the United States Supreme Court in this era. So what does all this mean here in the Sunshine State? What is the state of abortion access in Florida? Certainly it's a divisive issue, but how does it shape your politics? And how does it shape the politics looking into the 2020 election? 305-995-1800 is our statewide phone number, 305-995-1800, or send us a tweet at Florida Roundup. Mark Caputo, national correspondent for Politico, is still with us here. State Representative Anna Escamani is along with us from our sister station, WMFE in Orlando. And Senator Dennis Baxley is with us via Skype. Senator Baxley, let me begin with you. You have supported some of these abortion restrictions in Florida, including the fetal heartbeat bill. Do you anticipate bringing that back for consideration in future legislative sessions?
Well, I think we will see this discussion continue because I think we're really at a crossroads. Many people are looking backwards to Roe v. Wade. And in that time, we have approached the issue of unplanned pregnancies with this response, and we now have taken 60 million prenatal infants out of the picture. This has very, very amazing long-range effects on society in my mind, and I'm wondering, in a civil society, is this really the best path forward? And I think that we see a growing number of people moving more to some pro-life views. And we've seen the court environment shift to where there may be a possibility for revisiting this. But it will always be a very difficult discussion to have because we do appreciate the, personal rights of women, and we don't want to offend that. But at the same time, these are long-range changes that affect everyone. And a father and a mother are involved in every one of these situations, and coercion is in some of those situations. But is that the way when we've taken the lives of this is the answer, is to take these lives, when that's far more than all of the deaths of all the wars of America.
Senator, let me bring in Representative Escamani. Do you hear the senator at the same crossroads, Representative, or is the crossroads for you perhaps in a different policy location altogether?
Well, thanks so much for having me. This is a crisis on our hands. Women's health care is at risk. The future of women and girls in our state and country is at risk. And unfortunately, though I have the utmost respect for my legislative colleagues, there seems to be a deep misunderstanding of the lived realities of women and girls. And we need to do our part to ensure that no matter how much money you make or where you live in our state, that you have full bodily autonomy and agency to make personal medical decisions. And overwhelmingly, in this country, 73% of Americans from both major political parties want to see Roe v. Wade remain the rule of the law. And we also understand that abortion has overwhelming support to remain safe and legal alongside every different type of person here in our state. And that's one reason why these restrictions that Senator Baxley brought forth did not get a hearing. It's a reality that women across this state and country are coming together to say enough is enough.
What do you make, Representative Escamani, though, of Florida's neighbors, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, in this legislative cycle passing abortion restrictions? An effort in Florida, as you mentioned, certainly did hit the state capitol, but both efforts died without moving forward. Is the tone, is the shift changing, and is Florida going to be part of that, perhaps, in future legislative sessions?
Well, I think it's safe to say that the 25 men who voted to have the most extreme anti-abortion legislation passed in this country don't reflect the majority of Americans.
Well, it was also signed by a female governor in Alabama.
Sure was. And unfortunately, women can also subscribe to these type of policies when it's politically advantageous to do so. Speaking to the landscape, we know that we have a very conservative federal Supreme Court. We also have now a conservative state court. And so I don't think it comes as a surprise to listeners that for those who do not support access to a safe legal abortion, they've become emboldened. And this has been their opportunity to almost grant a dare to the Supreme Court to bring these cases up again.
Senator Baxley, do you draw inspiration or confidence from the northern neighbors of Florida and what the legislators there have done?
Well, I do. I think we've got, as policymakers, we now have a lot of to look at. I mean, we see Western Europe versus virtually self-extinguishing those societies by these kind of choices. When you get a birth rate less than 2%, that society is disappearing, and it's being replaced by folks that come behind them and immigrate, don't wish to assimilate to that society, and they do believe in having children.
So is this
so
an economic?
I think you see that there are long-range impacts to your society when the answer is to exterminate. What about all the young girls that we exterminated because they weren't the right sex? So there is a respect for women's rights. I'm just saying, as we move forward, can't we think that there might be a better way? And I think when we look at the pregnancy centers walking with these women and protecting their choices, whatever they decide, has been very helpful to seeing there's a better way to love and care and respect the women of our society than just push them into the direction of extinguishing the life of the infant.
Senator Dennis Baxley is with us via Skype. Representative Anna Eskamani is along with us from our sister station in Orlando, WMFE, talking about abortion as a state legislative issue. Certainly it is front and center with neighbors of Florida and Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, lawmakers all passing laws restricting or limiting abortions. Those laws coming into effect in the next several months, passed during this legislative cycle. Mark Caputo is along with us, national correspondent from Politico. What about the national landscape here, Mark, in terms of state lawmakers finding the confidence and finding the political support to pass these restrictions? Certainly it's focused here in the Southeast, but not solely here in the Southeast.
Except for guns, I think abortion is the number one, or perhaps abortion is the number one issue that divides right and left and red and blue generally in our country, Democrat, Republican. So if you have a state that is heavily red, you're going to probably see more of these. And if you have a state that's heavily blue, you're going to see less of these or looser restrictions on abortion, so to speak, potentially come up. And if you have a purple state, you're probably going to see not as many or none of these as well. And Florida is still a purple state. There's one eye-opener I have politically speaking in Florida, in a purple state, concerning abortion, and that was in 2012. There was a constitutional amendment put in front of voters to say, do you support publicly, or do you want to ban publicly financing abortion? And you would think most people wouldn't. But 55% of people voted against a ban on publicly funding abortion. That was eye-opening to me because it said that Florida voters don't support lots of abortion restrictions. Could be wrong, and that was 2012, but the fact that this didn't pass in the Florida legislature does indicate that there's enough discomfort among purple state legislators with it.
Well, let me put, we've got a blue and a red with us, not a purple legislator here necessarily, but to the red legislator, Senator Baxley is a Republican. How do you hear that analysis of the 2012 vote and today's political landscape?
Well, I think it does become particularly pointed in an environment where we are a tipping point state that can go either way at different times. And those values, there is a conflict of values about that, of what is the issue. But I'm always trying to understand my opponents and say, how do we bring them to our view rather than, I don't wish to annihilate anybody's rights or anybody's position. I wish we didn't even need any kind of law on abortion, that we just don't do that in a civil society. We don't destroy our own children, our own offspring. But this is what we find ourselves is we have a mix of people from all over the country and all over the world.
I'm sorry,
I did not interrupt you.
Hold on, Representative Eskamani. Senator Baxley, go ahead and finish up.
Yes, I'm patient, but I do know that when you file legislation, you will have a debate. And at some point, some of these things will find a meeting place that we can get to. And I think we will see some improvement in moving away from the idea that we should recommend, enforce, impose, encourage people to destroy their own infants.
Representative Escamani?
There are so many problematic comments that my colleague is sharing. And as a woman in this panel, I think it's important that we focus on the directly impacted people we're talking about. The reality is that abortion is on the decline. One in four American women have had an abortion in this country. Everyone loves someone who's had an abortion. And it's a personal medical decision that we should allow women to make with the insight of her chosen family, her God, her doctor, and not politicians. And it's important that we have medical standards and guidelines, regulations inspired by that, in place to make sure that every medical procedure is safe. But the reality is that these procedures are 99% safe in our country. And when we have these politically motivated restrictions, not only will it create an environment where women are going to go to dangerous means to access an abortion, but it also does nothing to reduce the rate of abortion, because we know contraception, access to comprehensive sexual health education, and I'd also add prenatal, postnatal care are areas where we will see a decline in the rate of abortion. We can see happy, healthy families being raised in our great state. And that's the tool. Those are the tools we need to ensure that we can find common ground on this issue. We can see decline in the rate of abortion, but also ensure economic efficacy for every woman and girl. Florida ranks 46 out of 50 on women's health outcomes. And we have to have a larger conversation focused on those who are directly impacted versus political rhetoric.
Is there common ground to be found on the issue of abortion?
I think there is, actually. You know, listeners probably know that I worked at Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. I was a Planned Parenthood patient myself. When I was 13 years old, I lost my mom to cancer, and I walked into a Planned Parenthood health center at 18 looking for help. And so these stories are personal for me because I've worked with patients who've ended a pregnancy. I've worked with patients who made the decision not to end a pregnancy and to seek Medicaid support to raise their child. And so I like to think that the issues that impact a person's options, you know, most of the times it's financial. We can find common ground on securing economic support for women who want to become mothers and have those options available to them. And even our legislative office, we're hosting a diaper drive in September. And our intention to do that is to lift up the fact that too many moms in our community don't have access to clean diapers.
Yeah. So, Senator Baxley, what about common ground on economic support for options, including abortion?
There are mutual interests, you know, and I don't cast aspersions or assign intentions to other people. They come from a different perspective. If you're pro-life, it's a life and death issue. It is not a healthy procedure for any of the children. And we both love children, so let's find that common ground and what we can do to make life better and reducing the number of abortions at any time. Like I say, I wish we didn't have to have a prohibition. We really do operate at the consent of the governed, and we can't enforce a law that doesn't reflect the will of the people and expect that it's going to be complied with. We can't put half the society in prison. And we don't hate women. I mean, I'm married 46 years. This lady's made my life. She's fully invested in five children. We've done foster care. We've adopted two of those children who have very strong challenges in their life. So, you know, to impose that this is a man versus a woman fight or something is just inappropriate. There's a lot of women who really have serious questions, and many women that feel like they were pushed into abortions that they now regret. Other people, you know, profess to defend that.
Senator?
I have 50 years in funeral service, so I mm-hmm. know what's pressed type of these people are never allowed to grieve. When you see people that weren't allowed to grieve, that their child died, there's a problem there for them. And so I'm trying to be sensitive and find those meeting places. And it shouldn't be just a political battle. It's really a cultural understanding of what is the right place. Is it life and death, or is it about my right to do what I want with my body?
Well, we'll see. Certainly on the politics and the policy, perhaps there is a compromise on the cultural side. This is an argument that obviously has been raging for generations here in the United States. 305-995-1800. You are listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Let me go to some phone calls here in Pompano Beach in South Florida. Lourdes on line 3. Go ahead, Lourdes. You're on the radio. Lourdes,
Hi.
Are you still with us? Go ahead. You're on the radio.
Yes. My question was, at what point do these new laws and bills become a violation of church and state, of separation of church and state? Because although politicians are very delicate in the way they word all of these bills, once you speak to them, you know, in the press, off to the side, then they tend to bring up religion. So how can they justify keeping them separate?
Mark Caputo?
Well, generally, the separation of church and state prohibits the imposition of a clear religious sect or denomination's views on others. The state, whether it's secular or not, has long recognized the need to protect life. And so that's where the debate is. It's really a debate about where human life begins and to what degree the human life or the recognized human life starts and where it ends and who has the right over whose body. It's very complicated. And what I think is clear is that when these measures get to the Supreme Court, there is a good chance that we're going to see maybe not changed, but new Supreme Court dicta or words around abortion, what can and can't be done.
Senator Baxley, let me ask you, do you support the kind of restrictions that have passed and become law in Alabama here in Florida?
I actually will accept anything moving that way. I'm 100% pro-life. I think these are lives. They're independent lives separate from the mother who's carrying the child. And there is a man and a woman involved. This is not the flu. This is a result of behaviorals, some of them incorrectly imposed on someone. But the fact is, what the question that your caller is getting at, I would just say that, look, faith and views about what's right and wrong should inform every decision, because every piece of policy or every piece of appropriation we do reflects somebody's value system. It's just a competition of how do we have this discussion so that we come out in a place that's workable for the society. But every one of those decisions can and should be influenced by our convictions about what's right and wrong.
Will you be preparing similar legislation for the next legislative session in Florida?
I try not to do too much early planning. This is my time to listen. But I certainly will expect that this discussion will continue and that I will be a part of it.
In fact, it will continue right here on the radio. So, Senator Baxley, I'd like to have you hold on. Senator Dennis Baxley is along with us. He is with us via Skype. Representative Anna Escamani is also along with us from our sister station, WMFE. She, the Democrat, he, the Republican, will continue this conversation also with national correspondent from Politico, Mark Caputo. All of this with your phone calls and your texts, your tweets, rather, at Florida Roundup on Twitter. The phone number is 305-995-1800. A divisive issue, but a civil debate here on Florida Public Radio. You've come to know and count on us for that, and you're part of it today. 305-995-1800 from Florida Public Radio. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami. My co-host Melissa Ross is off this week. We're talking about abortion restrictions and limitations in the Southeast. Florida's neighbors to the north, Georgia, Mississippi, and Alabama, have all recently okayed restrictions on abortion. And the Florida legislature failed to pass two abortion restriction measures, one a fetal heartbeat bill and the second a parental consent bill. Both did not get out of the Florida legislature. Your comments and questions, 305-995-1800. Senator Dennis Baxley, a Republican, is along with us via Skype, and Representative Anna Escamani is along with us, a Democrat from our sister station in Orlando, WMFE. Mark Caputo with Politico, a national correspondent, remains with us as well. Representative Escamani, let me ask you about the politics here in Florida. Democrats in the minority in Tallahassee and have been for quite some time. As you listen to Senator Baxley, as he listens to the state and his constituents during this offseason for lawmakers, what are you hearing in terms of your Democratic constituents, but all of your constituents, as it relates to the potential of a return issue on these abortion restriction measures that failed to get a majority support in Tallahassee this session?
Well, our constituents are reflecting the majority of Americans, where they stand support of access to a safe and legal abortion and want to do more when it comes to opening up access to health care, especially for women and girls.
Earlier, when we talked about kind of common ground, you spoke about economic support for options as an area where there may be common ground. Map that out. What does that look like, in your estimation, from a Democratic lawmaker's perspective?
Well, for example, we know that when a woman becomes pregnant who is low income, she has access to Medicaid support for her pregnancy. She'll lose that health insurance coverage after she gives birth. Her child can benefit from Florida Kid Care. But when it comes to resources for our moms, our working moms, they're not available. And I want to let viewers know, too, that when it comes to abortion access, many women who make the decision to end a pregnancy are already mothers. And for them, they're making the decision, the difficult decision, as a mother that's already facing barriers. You know, only 17 out of 67 Florida counties even have an abortion provider. So for women who are making that decision in our state and in states across the Southeast, it's already a difficult one to make, but it's also going to be burdensome, no matter what their situation is, especially if they're low income. It's going to be a struggle to even have that type of free agency to make a decision that's best for your health and your family.
Lots of comments here as I'm looking at the phone screen, many of them critical of efforts to restrict or limit abortion. Regardless of where you're on this position, it's the same phone number here for you, 305-995-1800. Regardless of where you fall on the political spectrum or on this particular issue, your voice would like to be heard, part of this conversation, 305-995-1800. In St. Pete, Lizzie is on line three. Go ahead, Lizzie. Thanks for calling in and holding on. You're on the radio now.
Hi, I heard the senator equate unborn embryos and fetuses to soldiers who died in war. I would like to know, would they like to punish the U.S. government for having those soldiers be killed, like they'd like to punish women for having an abortion?
Senator, we've gotten a couple of comments on social media regarding this equivalence that you have stated as well. Would you like to talk about that, please?
Sure, absolutely. And I think the differences here is we're just talking about lives. And I'm not interested in punishing anyone. The only thing in the statute would punish someone for carrying out a procedure that's taking a life. And I think what's really accelerated this at this time has been the rash moves in New York and Virginia that said, no, they really think it's all right to kill a baby even right up to their birthday or even after. In some people's expression of, I've heard some of the ethicists of that viewpoint even think up till 2 years old, they're not really human beings. I have a problem with that.
Let me just have Representative Escamani respond to that, because that clearly is not the law. That is not allowed under the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision, Representative, in terms of what the senator is talking about some perhaps in healthcare maybe making that argument.
No, I think I'm just saying that's what stimulated the current level of interest in this topic again right now.
False.
I see.
That is false. And I appreciate the opportunity to debunk the lies that Senator Baxley is spreading right now. There's been so much misinformation and inflammatory rhetoric around decisions in New York and Virginia to decriminalize access to an abortion and make sure that the decision between a woman and her doctor stays without political interference. And I also want to stress that these are not new bills in Florida. There has not been a new interest in Florida. Viewers should know that in Florida, we've seen an all-out abortion ban sponsored by lawmakers in the past. And we've seen many bills go to Governor Rick Scott's desk, which he signed and which were tested in court. So this is a familiar fight for many of us in Florida. And it's important to get the facts straight.
Senator Baxley, one other equivalence that listeners are pointing out to us on social media is this idea of taking a life, pointing out that Alabama and Florida, for instance, have the death penalty as well.
Well, that's right. And I will be very clear with you that I'm about protecting innocent life, particularly. And we both love children. I mean, I've done a lot of legislation to help children, and I agree. That's one place that the opponents and I can meet. Is we have a responsibility for all of the children of Florida. And I'm very interested in that. I don't choose some of the same solutions that they choose, but I certainly share the objective. And to think about young infants in the womb, I mean, I have three daughter-in-laws. We've had miscarriages in my home. I know to them this child was very real and very human and very much a part of them. And what we know about science and DNA and imaging has really heightened people's concerns. So I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm trying to respect each and every life. I think of all the children that their lives were taken because they were the wrong sex.
Senator, stand by. Just got to remind folks that you are listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Representative Escamani, would you like to respond?
I would love the opportunity to respond. I appreciate the senator's notions that he doesn't wish to punish anyone. That's not his intention. But the reality is that when you restrict access to bodily autonomy, when you push forward legislation that is based on your personal viewpoints of personhood and not that of the greater land, and you continue on this path that's also elevated rhetoric that can cause violence in health centers across our state, that you are punishing women. And even the six-week abortion ban, we know that we already have a viability ban in Florida. That is the law of our land. When you have a six-week abortion ban, that is at a point where women do not even know they are pregnant yet.
That is the, sorry to interrupt, Representative, that's the fetal heartbeat bill generally in terms of that six-week ban that you speak of. Is that correct?
That is the same concept. Correct. And to that point, too, the Alabama legislation that Senator Baxley did not say he opposed also has no exceptions for rape or incest. And there have been so many conservatives who have stepped up and say that's too far. And so the reality is that these type of bills, they might not explicitly punish women and girls, but they do in their implementation.
Let me bring in just a couple more calls here. John in Tallahassee has been patient. He's got an interesting point as we expand the conversation. John, go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, I was just wanting to mention, it seems to me that one of the most important elements of this is adoption, and a woman should have a right not to have another person in her life if that's what her choice is. But at the same time, that life should get an opportunity, and there are so many people out there who would love to have children. And it seems to me we could find a way, and I don't know, but it seems to me the system could find a way to encourage adoption and make it available for those people who need those children. And still, that woman who doesn't want to have that child can still go on with her life. That's my point.
John, got it. Thanks for adding that to the conversation. Yeah. Mary in Venice on line 10. Mary, you've been patient. Go ahead. Your thoughts.
Thank you. A few years back, I had a pro-life, pro-choice dialogue, and I invited people to come. And a lot more people on the pro-choice side came, but some pro-lifers came, and it was a beautiful afternoon where we talked about the things that we agreed on and how could we work together. And one of the stories that really struck me was a young woman who said, I had an abortion that I didn't want to have because I thought if I told my mom I was pregnant, she would kill me. And so it was really judgment that ended that life. And so I really think by coming together and having dialogues and getting out of judgment and doing more education for our young people, that there's so many things we can do instead of just the black-white rhetoric. And if Republicans are in, the bill goes this way, and if Democrats are in, it goes the other way. That's never going to get us anywhere. There's so much common ground. Thank you for listening.
I appreciate it, Mary. That's a great point, right? Representative and Senator, begin this debate from a point of people as opposed to policy and politics.
Well, and if I can add to that, too, I agree wholeheartedly with that listener. And actually, I had a moment in our legislative office where two individuals who picketed Planned Parenthood, they knew my name. They would be there every Saturday morning, yelling across the way at our patients and at staff, reach out to me for a legislative meeting. And I opened up my heart and my doors to them. And we had an incredible 40-minute dialogue that we struggled to find common ground because for them, the issue is very black and white. But my heart is open to every person because this is a nuanced issue. And it's individually personal. And that's why it's so critical that we not put into place legislation that's based on one group's definition of life. And also, we have to uphold the Constitution, y'all. And I always find it so ironic that many of my colleagues practice an ideology of convenience when it comes to the Constitution. And we have to guarantee that this is a right under the law for women and girls. And let's figure out ways to support adoption, to reduce unintended pregnancies, and make sure we destigmatize young mothers so that if somebody wishes to become a teen mom, they can.
I gave Senator Baxley the first word on this. We'll have Representative Escamani have that last word on that, and we will leave it there. Representative Escamani, thanks so much for your time today. We appreciate you joining us.
It's an honor. Thank you.
She's with us from WMFE. And Senator Baxley, thanks so much for making your time here on this Friday for the Florida Roundup. Appreciate it as well.
Thank you. I think it's a very helpful discussion.
Senator Baxley with us via Skype. Mark Caputo, always great to have you on as well, and the national coverage from Politico. Thanks. Well,
thank you for having me.
That'll do it for the Florida Roundup this week. It is produced by WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Alexander Gonzalez and Heather Schatz are the producers. Jason Zabka is the WLRN Director of Radio Programming, also our technical director for this hour. WLRN's Director of Radio Operations is Peter Meritz. Engineering help from Doug Peterson. Thanks, Doug. Our theme music is provided by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at aaronlibos.com. I'm Tom Hudson. Sorry to all those callers we couldn't take. Thanks for calling. Thanks for tweeting. And above all, thanks for listening and supporting Public Radio.